keeping the Great Lakes clean and the water healthy has been a challenge. Algae blooms have threatened recreation and fishing, and plastic pollution is also a big problem. We've all seen images of plastic washing up on the shores of lake towns around the world, or heard about the efforts to outlaw plastic straws. But straws may be just the beginning. As Tracy Samilton reports, advocates and scientists are zeroing in on another form of plastic and are calling for a ban.
Chances are you've recently gotten takeout or leftovers from a restaurant in a styrofoam container and then threw it away when you were done because you can't recycle it. Millions of us are doing that. Nathan Murphy is with Environment America. He says our use of styrofoam is skyrocketing.
Half of all the plastics that we've ever produced were produced in the last 13 years, and half of those are single use.
So what's wrong with that? Ooh, boy, where do we start?
It's produced with fossil fuels.
And Murphy says it's getting into the Great Lakes, being thrown in on purpose because it's convenient, or accidentally being blown into the water from boats or off the beach.
Unlike a paper product, which would biodegrade out in the environment over a period of time, this doesn't. It just breaks into smaller pieces.
And those pieces can take 100 to 500 years. To completely break down. Sherry Mason is a professor of chemistry at the State University of New York at Fredonia. She's been studying the effect of plastics in the Great Lakes her whole career. The very first sample she took...
You know what I saw? A small piece of styrofoam.
Mason says styrofoam breaks down into super tiny particles, and fish can mistake the particles for food. Sound bad? It gets worse. Mason says there are tons of harmful legacy chemicals in the Great Lakes, things we've banned because they're so bad for human health, like polychlorinated biphenyls, PCBs. These chemicals are hydrophobic, meaning they don't like floating around in water.
If there's something that they can stick to, they will. And plastics provide a perfect surface for them.
And every time people eat a fish from the Great Lakes, they get a little dose of these legacy chemicals in their meal. So you can see why Mason thinks a ban on single-use styrofoam is a good idea.
You don't make an item that you use for minutes out of a material that lasts for centuries.
Luckily, there are substitutes and they work just as well. I visited one of my favorite pubs in Ann Arbor, Michigan, called Red Hawk. Owner Roger Hewitt shows me the takeout containers they use.
We have a biodegradable paper product.
It's coated on the inside with something also biodegradable that keeps it from leaking. Hewitt says it's more expensive than styrofoam.
Does it make your product either a little more expensive or our profits a little lower? Probably, but not dramatically so. And when if you view yourself as part of the whole community, it's a responsible thing to do.
Still, Nathan Murphy of Environment America says it's too much to expect everyone to voluntarily stop using styrofoam. Even he failed during an office challenge.
And I was ambitious and said no single-use plastics for a month. And so every time I kind of got stuck when I would go out to eat or doing something else, I found another piece of single-use plastic in my hand.
The Plastics Division of the American Chemistry Council says banning useful products like foam containers with unique insulating properties is not going to stop people from littering. The council says real solutions are increasing recycling and preventing waste from getting into rivers and oceans in the first place. But Environment America says not everything gets recycled, especially styrofoam, and not everything makes it to the landfill. So a ban is the only reliable solution. The group hopes to raise awareness of the problem first with a door-to-door campaign, and then try to get state legislatures to pass a ban. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Tracy Samilton.